Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome everybody to Wednesday War Games. Never has this podcast been more fittingly named, because War Games, Liam.
Oh my god. And here we are on the Halloween.
Yes, we are. There's a spooky day. Days of spooky. Ghosts are ghosting all over the place. Zombies are coming out of the ground and all other assorted spooky things.
Spooky chicanery.
You wanted a spooky theme song, but I shot it down because I'd have to edit it in, and that's work.
It would be the same amount of editing as for our normal theme.
That's untrue, because you know the way we have the Voices of Wrestling intro? You are listening to the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting
Podcast.
Network. Yeah, I have that, plus the Arthur theme song pre-edited, so I can just dump it on the front, so I don't have to throw it on every week. So if
get
I were...
along with each other.
We'll never get along with each other. Only NXT and AEW should get along with each other. That's the metaphor.
That's the metaphor. That's the reason I picked that song.
Sure. But yeah, so if we change the theme song, I'd have to freaking download the Voices of Wrestling thing, and then get the theme song, line up the theme song, and make sure the theme song is not too long, so we can't claim fair use to PBS. Fair use to PBS. It's a whole ordeal. So I said, as a compromise, you can sing your spooky theme song. Go ahead.
Oh no, let me pull up the lyrics to Poppy's Scary Mask.
I've put you on the spot. Who's Poppy? I don't know who Poppy.
Okay. So, a little fun fact about Poppy.
Mm-hmm.
I will actually be seeing Poppy perform live next month.
Oh, is it because of the performance on NXT?
I was going to the festival already, but I only know of her because of her performances on NXT.
And now you're like, I love you, Poppy. I must see you in person.
I'm never going to take it off, so don't touch me. Never going to take it off, so stop looking at me. Never going to take it off, so don't touch me. Never going to take it off, stop looking at me. I'm all right, I'm all right, I'm all right. You ain't going to see me tonight. M-A-S-K-M-I-O-K-M-A. And that's where EO would be coming out at that point.
Nice. I assume that's the song she did tonight. I paid very little attention.
Well, if you paid attention to the podcast last week, I actually said that they're basically using this song as her theme without using it as her theme. And then she came out to it this week. So, victory lap?
You gotta fight All Elite Wrestling with Rick and Morty.
Oh, we'll wait to get into that.
Yeah, so AEW won last week. We'll talk about AEW this week. AEW kicked off...
As is tradition.
It is tradition, yes. 4 weeks in a row. AEW kicked off with Tony Schiavone and Cody Rhodes driving in a limo, or getting into a limo at the airport.
Why did they abandon Dustin? Why did he have to get a cab?
Yeah, it's like, why can't he get in the... It's like, no, we want to have a chat. Dustin, find your own way to the building.
Poor Dustin. He never gets to ride in the limo.
How do you know? Maybe he always gets... Maybe this is the exception.
Maybe he had his own... What did it say on the side? Fancy limo or something? I remember being laughing at the fact that it just said fancy limo on the side.
But yeah, this was a bizarre, like later in the show, they cut to Tony having a like 3 or 4 minute chat
that
with Cody
segment
in the car.
Sucked, man.
I'm like, they didn't. It wasn't even there to like say. He didn't ask Cody anything interesting. Tony just told an old timey story, and I am all for Tony being happy and old timey. But that is stupid.
Is Tony Schiavone just Cody Rhodes' manager now?
Yes. There's sexual tension between them, I must say.
I didn't pick up on the sexual tension between Tony Giovanni and Cody Rhodes.
You watch that car scene where they're driving and Tony's telling his story.
He did keep touching his leg, didn't he?
Yeah, and the way Cody looks at him as Tony's telling his story. I'm going to write some Coney. Coney is their shipping name.
No, nope, it's definitely not that.
No, it's... Well, what else would it be? Toady?
Giovanni's.
Are we going for Toady?
Choney.
Yeah, whatever it is. I'm writing fan fiction.
Rony.
It would be said there is some writing going on.
I was going to say, speaking of writing going on, but I don't think that's a good segue.
Well, yeah, the horse died this week, so yeah, there's not much writing going on at all.
No, are we really going to skip the big segment in between these?
Oh yeah, they put this out on Twitter. I'm not a fan of Tony Khan being on the show in any capacity.
But especially after he explicitly stated for like the entire run-up to the show that he wasn't going to be on screen.
Yeah, because this show opened with Jon Moxley barging into the office of Tony Khan. Tony Khan explains to him that him against Kenny Omega is now an unsanctioned match, and Jon Moxley shouted at him for a good 90 seconds. I don't like authority figures in general. I don't like company owners making themselves characters on a television show. And I don't like how many unsanctioned matches they're doing. This show started with two things I'm now, in retrospect, did not like.
See, the problem with this angle is it didn't need to be Tony. Arguably, it would have made more sense if it was one of the EVPs because Moxley could have called them out on having a personal bias in stopping him from getting a win over Omega.
I don't know. I'm a fan of having like a nameless, faceless championship committee. It's like the championship committee have not sanctioned this match.
What if it was the championship committee, but it was Tony Khan's voice, but they didn't name that it was Tony Khan?
It's the Vince Russo man behind the wall thing. You're going back to 2000 WCW.
The man behind the door.
Yeah. But yeah, I just matches are made by some nameless, faceless championship committee, and that's it. That's all I need.
We know that the Bucks and stuff are the ones who are making the matches. That is canonically what's happening. My problem is, it could have just been an EVP, and it gives Mox a reason to like say that this is some sort of personal vendetta against him.
Is that what's happening, though? Is that canon within the television show? Is that being the elite nonsense?
It was being the elite that was reflected on the shows.
Hmm.
When Nick booked the matches.
I consider being the elite canon adjacent.
Huh. Should I give you a breakdown of the Halloween episode that aired today?
We definitely do not need that. We opened the show with an actual good thing, Hangman Page against Sammy Guevara. As I said, very sad news. Hunter Horace Hemsley died.
R.I.P.
I know.
Hangman, the reason I wanted to bring it up was Hangman did accuse Chuck Taylor of murdering his horse on BTE today.
Well, that's certainly a thing. No. Poor horse.
And then Chuck said it now. It's probably just old age, man.
I was going to sing 5,000 Candles in the Wind, but I forgot the tune of it. So, well.
We've all been spared. I say as I sang Poppy at the top of the show.
We truly have. But yeah, we opened the show with Hangman Page against Sammy Guevara. This was a really good match for Page. I think Page desperately needed a match like this. And I think it also speaks very strongly to Sammy Guevara that him losing like this to Page actually helps Page. You know, he's not just a nerd running over him. I think Page, like, he felt more important coming out of this match than he went in, especially because the crowd loved him.
He also didn't go 20 minutes with him.
Thank God.
I really liked this match. Sammy is really, like, showing up in AEW so far.
He's one of the four or five undercard guys that they've consciously made an effort to elevate, and he stepped into the role. Like, if you had said before AEW that Sammy Guevara will be in a featured role in the big heel stable, I'd be like, really? And then if you'd said that heel stable is him, Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, and LAX, I would have been like, really?
You can stop calling them LAX now, as they are now officially Proud and Powerful.
I don't know. They said it in the pay-per-view promo, but they still don't specifically call them Proud and Powerful on the show.
I will be dubbing them P&P from this point forward.
I'll wait for further evidence. But yeah,
Page until won. I forget.
they're LAX. It's fine. Until Impact have a new LAX, they're LAX. Page one with the Buckshot Lariat. Good match, and then he cut a promo on Pac, being like, "I'm gonna do cowboy things to you." And West Virginia did love that.
That's not what he said.
That's the essence of what he said. He's gonna cowboy.
He said he was gonna do cowboy shit.
We don't use foul language on this podcast.
Wait, since when? This is at the point where I started to get super pissed off at unnecessary crowd shots towards bored people.
I was watching some old TNA the other day, and it's there. And I was like, Did I just never notice this? And it's not as bad as it was, because TNA was directed for a very long time by Keith Mitchell. AEW is directed by Keith Mitchell. It's the same director. And I was like, did I just never notice this in TNA? Because, like, it's certainly a thing that he did then. And yeah, it's just like...
Was he still doing it towards his, like, end of his TNA run?
Probably. I never bumped on it as hard in TNA as I do here. Like, it is there. Like, as I said, I was watching, I think it was Bound for Glory 2007. And I was like, oh, he's always been doing this. But it wasn't as egregious. And as I said, I didn't bump on it as hard then. And it's just like, I don't like the crowd shots as a general rule. I don't think they add anything. But especially crowd shots to nobody.
But it's like, even if you get someone good, it doesn't like add anything to the show.
Yeah, get me close-ups of wrestlers reacting and near falls, not some goof in the crowd making a dumb face.
Cut to the title belt.
Yeah, show me that pretty title belt. Even though there's no title belt in this particular Hangman Page.
I'm just saying, it's not like there was only crowd shots in this first match.
We went to our second match, I think, ballsy match. Hikaru Shida defeated Shanna of Portuguese... They couldn't decide if she was Portuguese or French, because she was announced as being from France, I believe.
Portuguese born, but now residing in France.
That's far too complicated for me to keep up with, who generally works in England and Japan.
I really liked this match. I liked it a lot.
I thought that everything before the commercial break was kind of bad, and then they really shot into another gear, and everything after the commercial break was actually really good.
I hadn't seen Shanna before, had you?
I thought it was Shanna McKenzie when she was coming out.
Shazza McKenzie.
Yeah, sorry. I'm all over the place with names this week. I just saw
it. Apparently, so did a lot of people, because Shazza McKenzie tweeted that she got a lot of well-done tweets directed at her.
Well... You know what? Take the credit where you can get it.
They probably should bring in Shazza, to be honest.
Yeah, you can do worse. But could you imagine on Raw? Like Shida's probably, the fourth or fifth from top of the women's division right now? They might be setting her up for a Rio challenge, who knows? But, like, she hasn't been on Dynamite yet. And Shanna is a complete unknown, like to the vast majority of the audience. Even, like, she hasn't been in Stardom in a few years, I don't think. So, like, it's not like she's super relevant there. Imagine, like, that match on WWE television and how much it would die, and that match on AEW television and how much it was a good match that the crowd honestly got behind.
Yeah, both of these two women are, like, you can put them on any Dynamite now and they're going to get a reaction.
Yeah. So do you think Shida against Rio is the title match?
It seems that's the way they're building. But I think we're probably only going to get, like, one women's match on the pay-per-view, and it might be a tag match with B and... Jamie Hayter versus Britt and someone.
Yeah, you can't leave Rio off the pay-per-view, though, can you?
You put her on AEW Dark Gear.
Dark, yeah. Because next week is Go Home, and they don't really have... Like Britt and Bea is the pay-per-view program, it feels like. I'd hate if they did a tag. That has Shorty, that's a singles, right?
I mean, maybe, but why else would they bring up the partnership, except maybe just for that match?
I would have said just for that match, just to give... that match kind of a built-in story and a reason to exist.
Speaking about that match and this match, like, these last 2 weeks have really, just with these two matches and these introduction of these two new women, they have, like, shown me that the AEW women's division is already getting better, because it was the most criticized, and rightfully so, division in the company, and it's getting better and better each week.
And the women are getting over. Like as much as you people can rag on Britt Baker for being a dentist...
Wait, she's a dentist?
I know, it's a shocker. She wasn't on the show, and they still probably mentioned she's a dentist.
They did.
But last week she was super popular in Pittsburgh, and her finish is over, and of course Rio is over, and Nyla Rose is over, and Shida hopefully will get over, and they're getting these women over.
I would like more than one women's match / segment a week, though.
Well, you had more than one, Liam. How dare you? How dare you forget very important Brandi Rhodes voodoo video package?
I don't. That was a whole thing.
Yeah, she's...
Is
she's,
a witch devil?
She's some kind of witch voodoo doctor person who...
Why is she sad?
I don't know. Did Kong do something to her?
Is she still crying because Cody got locked up last week?
Yeah, that's what broke her. That's what turned her into broken Brandi Rhodes.
Oh my god, she is broken Brandi Rhodes, isn't she?
Yeah. For Matt Hardy, it was a giant, like, 15-foot swanton. For Brandi Rhodes, it's Cody going to jail. It's just broken Brandi Rhodes.
Just a few notes from this match. I really liked Shana's I believe how I pronounce her name.
Well, in fairness, Excalibur and Jayora could not make up their mind between Shayna and Shayna,
right?
Yeah.
I thought she had really good facial expressions in this match. Every time they put the camera on her, she was doing some sort of expression, like when she was making her long entrance.
Mm.
I just really, like, I was like, oh, she's a really believable TV wrestler. Shida has a style and a look that's really conducive to getting over in America, as we saw in this match.
She has moved there. As JR told us, she has a bank account.
Now, Excalibur said she had moved and had a bank account, and then JR got teary and was basically like, welcome to America.
The way he delivered that welcome to America, like, he believed as well.
In that moment, he believed the American dream, baby.
Shida won, probably setting up maybe a title match, who knows. Who won the match? I don't even remember. Who won the match on Dark, the four-way?
That was Emi Sakurai.
Or maybe a three-way?
There was also a tag match on Dark this week that featured two women.
I know Mercedes Martinez was in it.
I know, which is really cool. She should be signed, as we said.
We shouldn't spoil the results of Dark, Liam. People might be very upset.
Well, they can skip ahead. Ali and Sadie Gibbs teamed up, and they defeated Big Swole and Mercedes Martinez.
So someone got the pin there, I'm sure. So maybe I don't know. So maybe they'll do a title match. Maybe they won't. Who could possibly say?
Well, I'm just happy that we're getting to see Sadie Gibbs after the hype videos, and hopefully we can eventually build our way to Sadie Gibbs B in a match
on actual television,
on YouTube television,
the real television where 600,000 people will watch. Yeah, we had that weird Brandi Rhodes video package where she's a voodoo queen, like Roxy Laveau. She's the new Roxy Laveau, I guess. Awesome Kong was there, too.
I mean, I liked it. I didn't think it was bad. I just was a bit, like, shocked. No, maybe not shocked, but stunned? Is that, like a lesser version of shocked?
I think Brandi Rhodes is, like, one of the better characters in AEW. She's one of the better promos in AEW. So her doing, like, spooky mysticism almost bums me out because I think she's a great promo.
I just don't want to see her wrestle.
That's also a problem. The Rock and Roll Express came out for an interview. They were like, oh yeah, titles are great. We wrestle in this building. Then LAX...
this fucking ruled.
Beat the living hell out of them and powerbombed Ricky Morton through a stage. Or Robert Gibson.
All right. You have to do PNP versus R&R next week.
Do you? Well, they killed one of them, so I don't think you can.
I think you do it. Do it on Dark and then and make it look like it's been 2 weeks. But you need to do this matchup.
It was Ricky Morton that was powerbombed through the stage, as I double checked.
It was, yes.
But like, you powerbombed them through a stage. You can't have the 60-year-old man come out the next week and wrestle after being powerbombed through a stage.
Yeah, but it's Dark. That's 2 weeks from now.
How are they going to handle that? Because Dark next week will be taped before the pay-per-view. So it kind of has to be a little non-canon, doesn't it? Because the layer after.
I meant that, like, they filmed Dark this upcoming week, and then because it plays the day before. Well, yeah, wait a minute, you're right.
Yeah.
I was in my head, I was like, that doesn't work, no.
Because it airs the following Tuesday, and the pay-per-view is on Saturday.
Are we going to get, like, the NXT thing where they have to overdub commentary lines?
And Ring of Honor do the same thing. It's just arrange your tapings so that they happen after your pay-per-views. Why is that so hard?
People who, like, it won't affect the, like, no matter what, like, people who aren't on the pay-per-view.
But yeah, they beat the hell out of them. And then the Young Bucks are like, hey, don't beat up us from the future.
I'm glad that they're doing something to try and get PNP over, because I feel like they've done a bad job at it so far.
Well, I wouldn't say they've done a bad... I think they've done no job of it so far.
Well, like, they gave them the squash, but even that squash wasn't, like, didn't make them look out like killers. And then they did nothing with them last week besides have them in the brawl.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that this week it seems like they're actually trying to do something.
We had that very long Cody Rhodes and Tony conversation, which was like, okay. Apparently this was like a reference to Starrcade 93. I don't care.
Yeah, sure. Who cares? It was bad and boring.
But most importantly, the next match, six-man tag. We had a Rick and Morty extravaganza, Liam.
Garrett, if I can ask you to edit one thing in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please edit JR saying wubba lubba dub dub?
That I will do.
Into the podcast right now.
There you go. I did that for you.
Thank you
just
so much.
For you, Liam. That's how generous I am. Mostly because I clipped it on Twitter and it'll be probably easy to get the audio.
Very good.
He was he was as miserable as people who are angry at annoying Rick and Morty fans online are.
Yeah, I thought this was fine for what it was. And as Excalibur said, it was corporate synergy.
Yeah. I will say, it says a lot about AEW and how much Turner think of them. That they see AEW as this kind of, like, promotional vehicle for something like Rick and Morty, which is also already immensely popular. Like if they think we have these young viewers watching on a Wednesday night, we can expose them to Rick and Morty. That tells you what they think of AEW right now, that they think it's something worth promoting their other properties with. And also, this was a fun six-man tag that was weirdly Orange Cassidy's first match on the television show, and he was super over because he's Orange Cassidy.
Goddamn Road Warrior pop for Orange Cassidy.
Because I saw him live for the first time at OTT over the weekend, and he is the best. He's the best. He's just the best. I don't know. You can be a curmudgeon, you can be a grump, you can sit there and fold your arms and be like, this is not wrestling, me angry, me Jim Cornette. Or you can just embrace it. Because wrestling is built on the inherent idea that it has an internal logic. That, you know, why does an Irish whip work? An Irish whip works because it's pro wrestling. It always works. Therefore, it's built into the internal logic of pro wrestling. Orange Cassidy is that idea taken to a wonderful, bizarre extreme. That there is an internal logic to everything Orange Cassidy does, and it gets over, and the audience buys into it. It's like perfect, pure, brilliant pro wrestling because the audience buys into it.
More so than buying into it, they're falling in love with it.
Yeah, they're going absolutely bonkers. And anybody that can't understand that, I think, doesn't understand pro wrestling. Because, like, that's the purity of pro wrestling. You get the audience to believe in something that is not real, even when it looks as absurd as the stupid fake super kicks that he throws at people's shins and get pops. That's pro wrestling. As its, like, most pure, brilliant form. And if you don't like that, I don't know what to say to you. You don't like fun. Get out of here and be like, oh, they're wearing wigs and doing Rick and Morty spots. It's fun. Shut up.
Wubba lubba dub dub.
Wubba lubba. I love the way he left the pause between the wubba lubba and dub dub. It's like, wubba lubba dub dub. He was so cranky.
It was great. It was fun. Like, this was a weird show for AEW in general. It was a weird split to angles to match ratio, very much more angle heavy than we have been seeing.
People, there is a wide held opinion that this is the worst episode of AEW Dynamite.
This is one of my favorite episodes of AEW Dynamite.
And I think the direct split between the people that will like this episode and the people that won't like this episode is the people that are willing to accept an element of fun in the wrestling show.
Before we go, because we don't really normally do an overall thoughts for these shows, what is your overall thought of this show without going into spoilery territories for stuff we haven't covered yet?
There is one segment on the show I kind of didn't like, which we're about to talk about in a second, and it ties into the stuff earlier in the show I also didn't like. And I thought everything else on the show was either a really good wrestling match, a bit of silly fun, or a tremendous promo.
Or something that was very on the nose and we don't know what it means yet.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. But we had Cody and Chris Jericho have their contract signing. This is the thing on the show I didn't really like. I didn't think Jericho... Well, I will say, Chris Jericho's attire, tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
He came out wearing a purple, I believe, pumpkin jacket with no shirt underneath and leather pants. And that was his contract signing attire.
Also some really nice boots. I was a big fan of Jericho's boots in this segment.
The man is a stylish man. He knows how to rock an outfit. But I didn't think there was anything to this segment. I thought it was the weakest Jericho and Cody segment so far. Jericho's promo wasn't particularly good. I thought the beatdown on Dustin Rhodes was very Monday Night Raw, even though Jake Hager did do the Hager effect. He needed the balls. I'm a fan of that. But other than that, I thought, this entire segment, I could just kind of... They can redeem it with a very good Cody promo next week, because this can set up a very good Cody promo where he can emotionally rally behind his injured brother. But other than that, I didn't care much for this.
The things that I liked about this segment were there was a heel and there was a face, and the crowd booed the heel and cheered the face. Which, in comparison to other things on the other show we're going to talk about, was very refreshing to see in this pro wrestling climate.
Cody is very much the ace, and this audience very much believes in Cody as the ace.
And I'm not even saying that this is a thing that happens in AEW every week, because it doesn't. Sometimes Chris Jericho does get cheered. But on this night, in front of this crowd, Jericho got booed because he was the bad guy. And no matter what, that's what I... That's what I enjoyed about this segment. There was more things I enjoyed about this than I disliked.
Hmm. So what else did you like? Go on, run them down after I ranted about it for 5 minutes.
Well, that was really it. I liked that this felt like real pro wrestling.
I liked the way this
and like that. And also I liked the Hager effect being hit.
The Hager effect should be his entire gimmick. I'm a little annoyed commentary didn't specifically call it out, but alas.
I was surprised by the lack of pop that it got.
People don't watch Bellator MMA, I guess.
But like, there was enough talk about that online that you'd think there would be, haha, look at that.
I don't know. I think people just don't watch Bellator MMA.
I was also upset that I wanted Sammy to be shit-talking the entire beatdown, but he was just kind of silent.
Well, I guess the idea is it's like this big menacing attack by evil Jake Hager and lovable Dustin Rhodes, and I think...
But even while that, you'd expect shitty little millennial Sammy Guevara to be talking mad shit the entire time.
He's clearly just scared of Jake Hager.
I think they're all kind of intimidated by him. That's the impression I get.
I do like that idea that there's like he's the mean guy, but he's on our side, but we're just going to... He can do what he wants.
And then, of course, the segment ends with Jericho smoking a cigar like a literal 70s action movie villain and getting into the car.
He is a tremendous supervillain. Chris Jericho, doesn't he play a KKK member in that Jay and Silent Bob movie?
Yes, he plays a clan leader, I believe.
Oh, good. He's a good wrestling villain without being a horrible racist on screen as well.
Hashtag Y2KKK.
Oh, good God. We got the thing you probably most want to talk about on this show. Kenny Omega came out and he was interrupted by another Undertale video because all of Kenny Omega's character development happens in Toby Fox created content, where they teased that basically the implicit idea of this video was that there was a lion that looked distinctly like the New Japan logo trying to lure Kenny back to some kind of dark side.
It was the lion's mark. New Japan was trying to steal Kenny back.
It was an off-brand version of the lion's mark for copyright reasons.
No, that was the goddamn lion's mark, and that was Ibushi holding the G1 trophy.
Yeah, he's like, your best friend abandoned you, and they showed like a silhouette of Ibushi with the G1 trophy that was obviously Ibushi, and then Sans showed up to help Kenny Omega through this tough time in his life. But yeah, there was a leak yesterday that the New Japan and AEW relationship is basically a done deal, or close to being a done deal.
And that a storyline had already started.
And this certainly seemed like it.
Yeah, and just to, you know, go on to that a bit, the Redditor post apparently has some credibility because they have successfully predicted pay-per-view dates and locations before.
Which ones?
I don't know. I didn't delve that deep. All I know is that in their previous Reddit post, they had predicted the correct dates and locations of pay-per-views.
All right.
I'm assuming Full Gear as one of them.
But yeah, that like when we talked about this before, like AEW even launched, I was staunch like AEW and New Japan will end up together because
I think we both thought that was always going to be the end game.
Because that was always the gravitational force. Like, play it to the end. What do these people need? What does New Japan need from Ring of Honor? It was really at the stage of AEW launching, it was production capacity, and they don't need that anymore. And Ring of, you can see that relationship has fractured through the year and become less and less relevant. What does AEW need from New Japan? Probably stars. You know, having Tetsuya Naito and Kazuchika Okada and Hiroshi Tanahashi on your shows helps, because all of those men are stars, and Kota Ibushi obviously is probably the biggest one that they can probably incorporate into AEW storytelling and has already been in AEW lore at All In, and Okada, of course, as well.
And obviously you're going to have, well, as far as we know, and we assume that Chris Jericho will be on Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, him against Tanahashi.
Probably against Tanahashi. What I think, maybe, perhaps, defending the AEW title. Ooh. Against Tanahashi. Like, currently, my thought is that Jericho will defend the title against Tanahashi in the co-main event of the second night.
That would certainly be a way to kick off that relationship.
And it'd be a hell of a match, and we get to see Tanahashi on weekly wrestling television for the first time since TNA?
Since 2018. Well, I guess Ring of Honor, I suppose.
Oh, does that count? Is that even weekly? It barely shows.
It's not even television.
Do you think... I should go slightly off center for a second. In the way that there's, like, really cool Impact fans who get very passionate about certain topics, do you think there's going to be very cool Ring of Honor fans who are going to get passionate about me saying that it's barely a TV show?
You see, I would have said yes, but they don't seem to exist. There's the Matt Taven girls.
Okay.
Who staunchly support Matt Taven. There's a group of female fans on Twitter who are big fans of Matt Taven. And all power to them.
I mean, I believe it. Look at that. Look at that mohawk.
Other than that, I don't see much in the way of... Like, all of ROH diehards from, like, 2006 have already moved on. It's not the same company anymore. So they've all... Like, everyone that would have attended those shows, everyone that would have loved, like, Bryan Danielson and Ring of Honor, I think has already moved on from Ring of Honor. So what they have left is... I don't know. And then when you look at, like, who loved Ring of Honor in 2017, it's AEW fans. It's Elite fans. So they've already moved on, too. So, like... What? Who are the diehard people who are like, I love Cheeseburger and Silas Young? You know? I don't think there are many of them.
But to get back on track, I'm going to propose to you a question.
Sure.
By January 6th of 2020, will there be a known deal in place between New Japan and All Elite Wrestling?
Yes.
That is your firm prediction?
I would have said yes even before that supposed leak yesterday. As I said, the gravitational force of the wrestling universe would have pulled these two together before long.
We are two who never wavered on this idea of this happening, and I'm glad to take that.
Like, there's little pot shots coming from both sides, and people are like, oh, you know, there's bad blood, but, like, good business always, well, not always, but usually trumps bad blood.
But also, are you going to trust Kenny and the Bucks in anything they say about that kind of stuff?
No, they're always working. Like, they're always working.
They come from the Chris Jericho school of always work and never believe what they say.
Mm.
Kenny Omega tricked people for 2 years straight about thinking he was going to the WWE. You really going to trust that when he says, oh yeah, New Japan hates us?
That was contract leverage as well, though.
Yes, but you know what I mean? Like, they worked people so hard that the companies believed it.
That's true.
What I'm looking forward to is possibly two of my favorite companies at the moment interacting, and I think it'd be great for both. I think it'd be great because All Elite Wrestling from the start has said they want to run shows in Japan.
Mm-hmm. And New Japan currently have New Japan of America.
And I don't think they're going to be going for weekly TV in America. I think they'll be going for big events and tours. And you know what would really help draw those cards? Having people like... The Bucks, and Kenny, and even younger people on the roster that could eventually be built up.
And also, AEW would be a very good excursion destination for...
Yeah, I think I would like Shota and... Or should I say, Shooter, to come in and team with his dad.
Yeah. We've separated a child from his father. We can't do that.
It's immoral. It's immoral for New Japan and AEW not to mix. And plus, it started becoming even more obvious to me last week with the Stardom stuff being brought up more and more, which continued today with Shayna. I'm going to switch it every time. But, like, it just seems this is going to be the deal, and we got the leak, and this happening on the same day, teasing a storyline, and a storyline seems to be happening. What about this? Do you think that it's going to lead to Ibushi and Omega? Because that seems to be the idea that most people on Twitter think.
Well, the problem is, I would have thought this was built to a dome match, but it kind of can't be.
I don't think those two are going to have another match until they're main eventing a 40,000-plus building. Like, I don't see them redoing that match for anything less than that. What are your thoughts on... there's a lot of people out there on Twitter, on the Voices of Wrestling Discord, that are saying that they think this is just Kenny being Kenny.
They wouldn't have used Ibushi's likeness.
They wouldn't have put the literal lion mark on the screen.
It wasn't quite the lion mark, Liam. It was a very similar Undertale reference.
It was an Undertale version of the lion's mark. It was the same colours.
They used too much of what would be New Japan's intellectual property for that to be Kenny being Kenny, I would have said.
Yeah, I think this is firmly in the realm of there's going to be a deal. I might be wrong, but I'm never wrong. And Garrett's never wrong.
There's no proven record of me being wrong in the history of my life.
So logically...
Except when I got like three names wrong on this podcast so far.
This must be happening.
Kenny Omega was then saved by Sans. He came out to Megalovania, righting the wrong of Wrestle Kingdom 13. If you're going to do an Undertale reference, just do Megalovania. Come on. Right.
I like Megalovania as much as the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
It is my alarm. It is the song that wakes me up in the morning at 11 a.m. when I have to wake up. But Hopes and Dreams, and specifically the remix that Kenny uses, is an amazing theme and is actually probably my favorite of his themes.
It's not great entrance music, though. It doesn't have
oomph. It is. It's perfect babyface entrance music.
No, it's not.
I will fight you. It's got the build up. I'm not going to start singing Hopes and Dreams on this podcast. But
it's going to be the rest of this podcast, you singing.
The rest of this podcast is just going to be talking about New Japan. What are you talking about?
This is already probably going to be the longest episode ever, so just keep going.
Well, it's the one I'm most impassioned to talk about so far.
Mm. Your hot takes about Undertale music.
Well, speaking of hot takes,
mm-hmm.
What are you? Some people that I saw on our Discord, we own it. Said that they thought that the whole Omega Mox feud was booked weirdly on this show because Kenny came out and had a fun cosplay match in this next match while Mox was treating it like a blood feud.
Yeah, it's Halloween.
That's what I said. It's Halloween.
It's Halloween. I don't know. I get the complaint, but I don't know. It's Halloween. He came out to Megalovania.
Did you expect the Elite, who have come out as Ghostbusters and the New Day in previous Halloweens, to not do something wacky?
Yeah, Kenny Omega once dressed as Jasmine from Aladdin on a wrestling show for Halloween,
and it was fine cosplay.
I will say, very upset with the Young Bucks for just doing the Street Fighter thing again. Come on.
Yeah, I was bummed out by that, and why couldn't they have done an Undertale thing?
Who? Yeah, they could have been Papyrus and
I. Oh no, forgot her name. Fish lady.
Undyne,
there we go.
Yeah, there you go.
I was going to say Iodine.
I've only played like the first 2 hours of Undertale, so.
I have only watched a number of Let's Plays and listened to the music repeatedly.
So I bought the album on, the music album on Steam, so I paid for the music.
I downloaded it on Spotify. I'm streaming it legally.
Then we had the Elite against Angelico, Jack Evans, and Kip Sabian, and I loved this match. I thought this match was great. They could do a version of this match, the Elite against just any random three people on the roster, give it 10 minutes every week, and this audience would just eat it up with a spoon. The Elite were probably the most over they've been so far. They were way more over here than they were even on like the first episode of AEW. Like, everything they did just got a monster reaction.
And the thing that I thought was super interesting about this too was that like, you can do this match
mm-hmm.
whenever, and it can fit any storyline. Just yep. chuck the Elite out there, chuck three other people out there, and you can run it every 3 weeks in a build to a pay-per-view, and that you have a week where you don't have to do anything and it'll be fine.
And dress Kenny as Sans.
And dress Kenny as a different gamer moment each time.
Kenny must love Undertale. Do you think he loves Undertale more than he loves Mega Man?
I think he loves having a direct connection to the creator of Undertale.
Yeah, he's had a good month. He got a song in Smash, got a song on national television in front of 15,000 people or whatever, and nearly a million people on television. Good week for a good month for Released Town.
Yeah, I was going to say Released Town. I did want to mention the fact that this was technically a Super Smash Bros. Ultimate cosplay, as both Ken, Ryu, and Sans are all in that game.
That's true.
So if you wanted the correlation, there it is.
There you go. The everyone is here.
Oh, how did Excalibur not do that reference?
He's clearly he's a fake gamer. That's the problem.
Confirmed fake gamer at Shut Up Excalibur.
After the match, the Young Bucks were attacked by Rick and Morty, but gasp, it was actually LAX.
One quick thing, I want to have Jack Evans on every show in some capacity.
He's doing kicks, he's doing backflips off people's backs. Jack Evans, fun. He's a fun pro. He's embraced like his late career period, where he's just like a wacky, weird dude.
Well, it was ever since he had that Lucha Underground run, and he just decided to be a smarmy shit talker who does flips.
Yeah, that's great.
But, like, if there is an AEW mid-card title eventually introduced, I need Jack Evans to hold it. I need to have singles matches with Jack Evans. I need an Omega-Jack Evans singles match.
There's some nice little exchanges in this match, too.
That's what, yeah, this match was super fun.
This match was great. I like this match so much.
The attack.
But yes, LAX jumped the Young Bucks after the match, disguised as Rick and Morty.
They were in the crowd during the best friends Rick and Morty scene.
Were they there the whole time? Like
I saw them in the, because I noticed the big hooded Morty during the best friends match.
Oh, geez, Rick. There you go.
What did you think of Rick and Morty introducing the best friends in Orange Cassidy?
It was as awkward as everything on Rick and Morty ever is, I guess.
You know what? This wasn't the Rick and Morty inclusion that I expected.
You thought it would be like more obnoxious and on the nose?
I thought it was going to be along the lines of an actual animated skit of Rick and Morty like showing up and like them playing that in the arena.
That would take way too much time and effort. Do you know how long it takes to animate stuff like that?
It only had to be a 20-second skit, and they could have used the exact same... They've done that for other shows. They could have done it for AEW.
It's still, like, a ton of money to animate anything.
Sorry.
There's a reason it's been 2 years since episodes of Rick and Morty.
Are you a big Rick and Morty fan?
I watched most of season one, and I'm like, this is okay.
It's not for you?
It's not even that it's not for me. I'm like, it's fine. It's okay.
I've watched it a few times.
I neither like deeply dislike it or deeply like it. I think it's just there. Dan Harmon, a big fan of Community, but
I'm a big fan. Well, I was. I don't really know if I'm a big fan now. I used to be a fan of the Harmon cast. What do you call it? Harmontown.
Do you think some of that has aged poorly?
No. Do we really want to get into this?
No, we don't. The Librarians came out and everyone's like, oh no, it's Librarians. But then John Moxley showed up and murdered them.
It was great. Mox is great. Great promo. Give that man a mic.
People were like, give him a mic. I said last week that it should be meaningful. It should matter. They should give John Moxley a live mic when he has something to say. If he just came out and ranted and raved and did a promo for no reason, I'd be like, you know, it's John Moxley, so it's fun. But they waited until he had something to say, and he cut a fiery, passionate promo about how unsanctioned matches suck, but he's going to kill Kenny Omega anyway, and it's their fault.
Tell me if you think that this is me reading too much into the story.
Sure.
Or if you agree and think that this is what is the plan with it so far. To me, because there was like very little interaction on Kenny's part for this week, I think that the story being told here is that Kenny was in a slump, he got out of the slump, and he's gotten overconfident now, and he's underestimating Mox, and Mox is going to beat him at full gear. Does that seem right to you, or am I reading too much into this?
Well, Excalibur's commentary, which by the way led to a very weird exchange, where Excalibur, when Kenny Omega made his entrance, when Sans helped Kenny Omega out of his slump, very bizarre sentence to say on a wrestling show. Excalibur was like, Kenny Omega's been in a slump, he's going through some bad times, but now Kenny Omega's back. And JR was like, so you're saying he's been suffering from mental illness?
Yeah, this was weird.
Excalibur was like, yeah? And JR was like, oh, okay.
It's like we were trying very hard not to say that, JR.
Yeah, the express message from that Kenny Omega video package, as I said, all Kenny Omega character development comes from Toby Fox, is that Kenny is broken out of his slump, but he's here to stay after he beat John Moxley, Joey Janela, he's gotten it out of his system, and now he has Mox coming in an unsanctioned match. I do think the unsanctioned match is a way for Mox to win, but for Kenny to still main event the next pay-per-view.
Do you think Kenny's main event in the next pay-per-view?
I think Kenny and Jericho is the main event of the next pay-per-view.
They're going to wait for that.
I'd switch the belt onto Kenny in February or whenever that pay-per-view is going to be, late January maybe.
Are they going to do monthly pay-per-views and then like four big ones or...?
No, they're four big ones. They're quarterly.
I don't like that.
No, I think monthly is maybe too often. Bare minimum, I'd do one every 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because like, that's what this build is. It's a 6 week build, and I think it's fine.
Every 2 months. 2 months would be my bare minimum. My ideal is every 6 weeks. 8 pay-per-views a year, give or take. But yeah, that would be my main event of the next pay-per-view, to move the belt onto Kenny. I think you'd be pushing it too far out after that, and it would be delaying it for no reason, and Mox can move into a program with Pac or somebody.
Interesting, because I think you wait until Double or Nothing 2. Doubler or Nothing?
Do you keep the belt on Jericho the whole year?
I mean, yeah.
Mm.
Didn't he win the belt at All Out?
Yes, so it would be a Double or Nothing would be May, so that would be the second pay-per-view, so it would be 8 months. Ugh, I guess. I like Jericho. I mean,
so far Jericho's been a perfect champion in representation.
Yeah, I still don't see him as a long-term champion, though.
But like, this is probably going to be his only run on top.
Yeah, which is the reason it should be He won the belt at the end of September, which would be 5 or 6 months if he lost.
Like last February. Week, you were calling for Cody to win the belt.
Yeah, I want everybody to win the belt.
Just share it.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
John Moxley cut a really good promo. John Moxley was great here. He cut a really good promo on Kenny.
You know what wasn't great?
The main event tag title tournament match?
Sure.
I wouldn't have said it was great, but I thought this was a really good match.
Nah, this was messy.
Well, and it's the Lucha Bros. It's always messy. How could you like the Lucha Bros private party match and not like this?
Well, because the Lucha Bros private party match had a bunch more flips.
Well, the Lucha Bros did a bunch of flips in this.
This match was them trying to do stuff and then them messing it up. In the private party match, at least, it worked in the end.
Kaz nearly died on that runner off the apron.
He nearly died on that runner on the end. There was like a solid 20 seconds of Phoenix trying to get an armbar in that led to nowhere.
I would be like, oh, greatest match ever, but I thought this was a good main event.
As this match was going on, it seemed to me that the Lucha Brothers were like, oh, we're not winning.
Well, you said to me during the week that I think SCU should win. After this match, do you stand by that take now that they've won?
No, you are misquoting me.
I'm quoting you directly. That's the exact words you said.
No, I said I would like SCU to win, but I think Lucha Brothers need the win.
Mm-hmm.
And I stand by that. I did like SCU winning, but the Lucha Brothers needed to win.
I don't know. I think there's two arguments for SCU winning. They've been very good on TV so far. And they
it was
create
a better story.
And they create more fresh matches.
I think it was the better story too. That's what the whole point of this tournament was leading up to. They got screwed over in the first round but managed to come back. They cut through the second round and then they faced the people that almost screwed them over in the first round and won.
With a roll-up.
With a roll-up, which means they'll probably do that rematch at Full Gear.
Sure. I still would have put the belts on the Lucha Bros there.
Even, to be fair though, they might win the belts at Full Gear and like they just wanted to give SCU like a thank you, you're the first champs ever kind of deal.
That's stupid.
Yeah, well, that's wrestling.
That's needless sentimentality, Liam, and has no place in wrestling for it.
This match was nothing.
That's AEW Dynamite.
To be fair, like, we ended on a somber note, but it was a very interesting show, and I had a lot of fun watching it.
Okay.
What do you mean, okay?
It's okay.
You didn't like this show?
I did. I liked that show. The only thing I didn't like on the show was the Kenny and Cody, or Cody and Jericho stuff.
Okay.
And I like the main event more than you, so.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we even out. We both liked this show. We're both positive on this show.
Okay.
Are you okay, me like that?
NXT opened with a performance by Poppy, who, as you said, you're now the biggest fan of.
I hope to get somehow. I'll buy Poppy merch at the festival that I'm going to.
Which then led us into Io Shirai against Candice LeRae in a pretty good match. Again,
I don't think it was as good as their takeover match.
No, certainly not. And I thought it was all right. It was a solid match. I hated the finish. I hated the finish.
Candice like really busted her nose on that, but we didn't get to see it.
Yeah, because like the referee took the chair out of Io's hands and then just threw it in the ring. It's like and it was in the ring for a good minute before it factored into the finish, and that's just stupid.
Yep.
But yeah, it was a perfectly fine match.
I will say, like, just as I don't even know the word I'm looking for, but as a sort of statement here, I think all of the what are normally pretty boring and bland mid-card NXT matches were all actually just good matches this week.
Do you want to know what my hot take about the show is?
What is your hot take about this show?
Those pointless mid-card matches were the good part of the show. And the more hyped up, like, promoted matches were the bad part of the show.
There were hyped up matches on this show?
Well, the kind of marquee story matches, I suppose. Candice LeRae's nose is leaking like a political document.
Oh boy.
Sure.
Candice LeRae's nose is leaking like New Japan's plans to side with AEW in the Wednesday Night Wars.
There is something that, again, a bizarre pet peeve that annoyed me. They announced that the main event was Undisputed Era against Keith Lee and Matt Riddle.
Limitless Bros. In a very TW tag name.
Yeah. And they said it's courtesy of Sports Illustrated.
Yes, so, as in they sponsored the match.
Sports Illustrated broke NXT, like as if they're the ones that made the match. It's
they were the Japanese wrestling sponsor, and they're going to come out with the big check after the match.
It's like that. They broke the news, so they made the match, I guess. You're the company. Your match announcements are not courtesy of somebody else.
I think it was just, like, a bad way of saying it. What they meant to say was they broke the news.
Yeah, it was, but it's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree.
Another annoying pet peeve I have before we get further into the show. They announced that Pete Dunne will face Damian Priest again next week. And I have a simple question, Liam. Why?
Especially since last week Dunne said it was fine.
Yeah.
He's like, oh yeah, I lost.
Priest beat him. Dunne is like, it's fine. And now they're wrestling again. Why on earth should I care?
Because this show is booked week to week.
It's stupid.
I also have a problem with this show.
What is it?
At the start of the show, Mauro promised me tricks and treats. Mm-hmm. So I was expecting some Halloween fun. And I didn't get any Halloween fun on this show.
Absolutely nobody dressed as Rick, Morty, or Sans.
This is bullshit.
Yeah.
And that's going to get bleeped in TNT, apparently.
Speaking of bullshit, Finn Balor.
Wait, we didn't talk about after the match.
What happened after the match?
Io Shirai started beating down Candice LeRae, oh, and yes. Rhea Ripley made the save.
Rhea Ripley made the save. Well, I'll talk more about Rhea Ripley in the other women's segment.
Yeah, but it was a segment that happened on the show.
Sure. Finn Balor came out.
Finn Balor doesn't like laying down for nobody, brother.
Finn Balor is cutting a WCW Vince Russo shoot promo where he's like, Bray Wyatt put a mask on and I had to lose to that nerd. Who does he think he is? I'm a cool guy. Johnny Gargano's not even a wrestler. That's why I'm a heel.
Yep.
I hated this. And I hated this.
Why this was happening, the fans were like, yeah, we suck.
And like, not even, they were actively chanting, thank you, Finn, at him for attacking Johnny Gargano.
I don't like the NXT fans. And I don't like them because they're just disingenuous. Last week they were going, no, and they were crying. And this week they were cheering for the man and saying, thank you. Pick a lane. Stay in it. That's why I liked the Jericho Cody segment. Because they picked a lane and they stood in it.
The reason I don't like NXT fans is it feels... It rarely feels like an honest-to-God, audience-driven reaction to what's happening in the wrestling ring. It feels performative. It feels like this is our show. We're rooting for it. We're going to cheer. It's not like the we love these people.
But it's also the wrong performance. That's They're true. Doing the wrong reactions.
And that reflects a broader WWE trend of a complete inability to manipulate their audience and get over baby or get over heels.
What are your thoughts on the statement that Raw and SmackDown are like Hollywood, but NXT is like Broadway because all the lights are on Finn Balor?
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway, but not as bright as here on the great black and gold way. I'm not into this. I'm into the core idea of a Johnny Gargano and Finn Balor program. I think that's pretty cool. I think this explanation of the heel turn is stupid. It's Vince Russo nonsense, where he's like, curses for having me job out.
They had such a good and clear-cut story to go with. Johnny Gargano replaced Finn Balor as the heart of the brand. And now Finn Balor's back, and he's upset that the fans turned on him and picked somebody else. And instead, they had to go for some cringy bullshit, and it's bad, and I don't like it.
So many boys in the back aren't wrestlers, Liam. They should be fans.
They should be in the crowd.
Stupid. This is stupid. Bronson Reed and Shane Thorne had
No, we're not going past this. You know what's extra upsetting about this?
What?
Last week, we were so excited.
It was a good turn.
We were so excited and we were so hopeful about this feud, and this is what they've done the next week, and now we're sitting here and we're mad.
It's stupid Vince Russo bullshit.
Why do we have faith?
Which you never should. That bicycle kick was so good last week. Like, every replay I've seen of it since, it's like, oh, he killed him with it. It looked great. Or the Pele, whatever. When he did the overhead kick to Gargano.
I know, I just wanted to criticize you.
You're a mean person. Bronson Reed and Shane Thorne had Liam's offer match representing his nation.
Yeah, can we stop? Okay, Americans. Mm-hmm. Can you stop with the Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi chant?
Who are they chanting for? It's both of them.
But also, like, also the Brits. You stop with it too.
True. Why? Like, do you do that in your own country?
Yes.
Oh, so it's cultural appropriation is what you're saying.
Somewhat. But, like, the annoying thing to me is they go, Aussie, 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 oi, 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 Aussie, oi, Aussie, oi, Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. That's not how we do it.
Oh, so you're upset at it's not only cultural appropriation, they're screwing it up.
But at least, like, this could just have been a regional thing, right? But for me, it was just Aussie, 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 oi, 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 over and over again. Like, that was the chant. They turned it into some other thing. And I remember the first time I heard that was at a Progress show.
That makes sense.
Like, the first time I had heard that, and it really threw me off, because, like, I have never heard it done like this before. It may be done like that before in other parts of Australia, but that was the first time I heard it was an English crowd.
So they're rooting the most identifiable part of Australia.
I guess, our chance.
Actually, no, you can't climb an Ayers Rock now either, so, really.
Yeah, as you shouldn't be able to.
No, you really shouldn't, but still.
Just want to get political?
It's the most recognizable Australian landmark, and they've ruined it for the poor, horrible tourists that are stamping on cultural, spiritual, and religious places. We should be, the foreigner should be allowed to ruin all of local culturally.
There was a politician who was very opposed to this, the climbing of Uluru being stopped, and in protest, she climbed it by herself without a guide.
Okay.
And she got stuck up there. And they had to send people to get her down.
There was some real natural justice there.
Yeah, it's just, guys, you can just look at it and camp at the camping site around it and use the walking trails around it. You don't need to climb it.
It's a perfectly nice looking rock. You can see it from a distance. Also, it's much easier not to climb it.
Yeah. You can get your baby stolen by a dingo around it.
Bronson Reed wrestled Shane Thorne.
And another point. Mara, not every time there's an Australian in a match, you need to make references to Australia.
There's a much worse one in the Dakota Kai match.
There's a much worse one in the match that doesn't feature an Australian.
Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. It's the worst one I think he's ever done. But I like this match. This match was a good match.
Yeah, I like this match too. They should just team these two. NXT needs more tag teams.
Sure. But yeah, these two beat the hell out of each other, and they had a fun little 4-minute TV sprint where they beat the hell out of each other. I don't know what's going on with Bronson Reed. He was fodder for Matt Riddle.
He won. It's his turn.
Yeah, but like, he was fodder for Matt Riddle a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and now he's Shane Thorne is fodder for him. I don't know how the show is booked. It makes no sense.
Well, I think it's just like, Shane Thorne got his few weeks build, and he lost his big match against Gargano, and now Bronson Reed's going to start getting his few weeks build to lose to some bigger star, just like Cameron Grimes did, just like Shane Thorne did.
Kairi Sane and Asuka defeated Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai to retain the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. I hated this
match. I really liked this match.
I thought the last 3 minutes of this match was good, but for the love of God, they spent 15 minutes of this match getting the heat on Dakota Kai. They spent like 5 to 10 minutes getting the heat on Dakota Kai, went to a commercial break, came back from the commercial break, and they were still working over Dakota Kai. It's like, do something. Don't do a 17-minute match where 12 minutes of the match is nothing. Yeah. Like, literally nothing. You're just working over forever. End of the match is pretty good. But God, they would not stop. Like, I was like, oh, they're working over her forever when they were 5 minutes into it. Then they worked over her for another 5 minutes. Then, when they went to the commercial break is when I lost my mind. Yeah. That's when I was like, what are you doing?
I was like, this is a really good match held back by a very long heat segment and a hot tag that immediately got cut off.
Yeah, it's like they spent 15 minutes building to this Tegan Nox hot tag, and the hot tag wasn't even that good.
Yeah, but I for some reason, like, who can explain it, I was sitting there and I liked it. Maybe I just liked seeing Kairi and Asuka on NXT again.
And their music is good, even though it's not really heel music.
Yeah. I like their gear a lot. I like their new look.
Dakota Kai, known for her punishing kicks, she can kick harder than a red kangaroo, the native of New Zealand. And I know there are no kangaroos in New Zealand, Nigel, but I wanted to make the reference anyway.
It's become meta. It's a meta thing now.
He's
Is that racist?
I think it's a little. Because he's like, I'm just going to make a reference to Australia, even though she's from New Zealand. I don't care.
It's definitely not cool.
Oh, Liam, you know what I just realized?
What?
AEW had Ricky Morton and Rick and Morty on the same show.
That I remember seeing a fun tweet about that. And they had stated, with Ricky Morton being taken out, I hope that Rick and Morty present the tag team titles. Unfortunately, we did not get that.
We did not. Instead, LAX became Rick and Morty.
Oh, we forgot to mention such a great point of that show. What did you think of the Rick and Morty ring?
Oh, I thought it was pretty cool. I thought the green portal things were cool. The turnbuckle cover, or the ring posts.
They should have just gone the whole way and had green ropes.
Oh, jeez, Rick, why are the ropes so green? There's my Morty for you there, Liam.
I'm not doing a Rick.
Do a Rick. Response. Just burp and be drunk.
I don't have anything that'll make me burp.
Oh. You liked this tag title match. I thought it was stupid.
I thought it was pretty fun.
Oh, God. I have Larry Sanka's reviews open, so when I'm running down the shows, that's just make sure I don't miss anything, and I still miss
stuff. So you can get your points.
Yes, but it's really just to get stuff in order. And Larry, I like Larry. Larry's the best, but he says in his match thoughts that they worked a great heat segment. Larry, it was 15 minutes long.
I don't want to start beef with other people who are reviewing wrestling.
And Larry's the nicest man on earth. Larry's great. But Larry.
And while we're here, Joe Lanza, how dare you not like Orange Cassidy?
Yeah, let's fight. We'll fight with people. Joe hates fun. Anti-fun police came out in droves today.
Ironically, he would hate the anti-fun police.
As much as I didn't like the tag title match, the post-match segment I thought was really good, more or less. I didn't really work out what the battle lines were until the very end, but...
Really?
Well, like people, when I thought Bianca Belair was a babyface.
Nah, and then shades of grey.
She came out and jumped Candice LeRae, and I was like, who's even on what side here? But
like, and it's like, I thought Rhea was a heel for a long time, and it's like, oh wait, no, she's like the cool, badass... Roman Reigns figure.
Yeah, so for some reason, the female Undisputed Era, which I again also DM'd you during the show, that the Four Horsewomen at Undisputed Era are the exact same stable.
And what did we give their stable name?
Undisputed Women, I think you said.
I was like, that makes no sense, but that's their name.
They're undisputedly women. It's a fact.
The Horse Era.
But for some reason, the horse era ended this week when Hunter Horse Hemsley died.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Sorry, it's the fact. The four horsewomen came out, three of them, for some reason, and attacked Tegan Knox.
Tegan Mox.
When she goes to AEW and teams with John Moxley, that's if that's not the team name, there's no faith in the world.
Oh, poor Shooter. Getting replaced.
He can have a sister or a mother. Let's not get too deep. His mother is Renee Young. That's true.
I've seen the art.
Oh God.
Not that kind of art. Okay. It's very wholesome.
Tegan Knox and Dakota Kai got beaten up before Rhea Ripley came out. Rhea Ripley against Shayna Baszler feels like a big match. I know that's not going to be the takeover match because there's a War Games match, but when they get to Rhea Ripley against Shayna Baszler, I'd imagine that's who's going to beat Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, like I said a couple weeks back, Shayna's one of the highlights of the show for me. Like, I like all of her title defenses, bar the Mia Yim one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to War Games. Women's War Games. You know my one thing is, though?
They're stealing our SEO because it's called Women's War Games, and that's WWG, which is our podcast. That's your one issue.
No, my one issue is that I wish, if they were going to do the Women's War Games, it would be the only War Games on the show.
Like when there's two Hell in the Cells and two TLCs, it's overkill. Just do one.
And
good
two
one.
Money in the Banks. And yeah. Two Andre the Battle Royale. Yes, that's what I'm going with. Andre the Giant Battle Royales at WrestleMania. It's like two Royal Rumbles. Like, just give them. Theirs makes more sense anyway.
Yeah. So the teams, I think, are Candice LeRae,
yep.
Rhea Ripley, Tegan Knox and Dakota Kai against...
And a mystery
partner. You see, there was five on the other side, so are they going to dump one of the horsewomen?
I think it's... Do you want my prediction of who it's going to be?
Go on.
I think it's going to be Toni Storm.
Oh, to make it 5v5?
Yep.
I was thinking it would be 4v4 and one of the horsemen would get dumped, but that makes more sense to even out. I think they're going to
do a big Tony Storm debut and put her on the babyface team.
So yeah, the heel team is the three horsewomen, Bianca Belair, who's apparently a heel, and Io Shirai.
How many... We all thought Bianca was going to like go to Raw or something, but she's still around.
Well, this angle's great. And as I said, there was a face-off in this angle between Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler that felt hot. That felt like, yeah. This is a big match.
I don't want to nitpick it too much because it was a great angle. And I liked Rhea at the end just booting one of the security guards.
Because they had the battle lines drawn, security was there. William Regal came out, it's like, War Games, grrr. And then Rhea Ripley
kicks the security guard in the face. The crowd knew what was happening. They were literally chanting for War Games. They were chanting for us.
They were. That was a chant for our podcast on the show.
You should cut that bit out and just use it for the intro.
Especially William Regal saying War Games.
Yeah.
Cameron Grimes and Tyler Bate, again, the meaningless point. Well, this match at least had some story last week, but it's not going anywhere. Cameron Grimes and Tyler Bate had a really fun TV match.
Yeah, I don't have any thoughts on it, though. it was there.
I have one single thought on it.
Hmm.
I was at OTT on Saturday, Liam.
Wow, you got to see the match of the year.
But
is that what we're going to talk about?
No, nothing about that. Tyler Bate missed that show because of, quote-unquote, medical clearance.
Yeah, because he's not medically cleared to get hurt on OTT.
He sure seemed fine on NXT tonight. Just saying.
Well, you know what it was. They didn't want him getting hurt before he did a big TV match.
Big TV match. But him and Trevor Lee is just... It cannot...
Cameron Grimes.
I will say, the last 2 weeks of Cameron Grimes is the most I've liked him in a very long time, because he's a very variable wrestler who everyone's like, oh yeah, on paper, he could be like the next big thing. But he can routinely be extremely boring. And the last 2 weeks, he's been great. Killian Dane attacked Tyler after the match, so...
After distracting Bate, similar to distracting Boa.
Yeah. Poor Boa. Boa wasn't on the show. I miss Boa.
I do miss Boa. Stop constricting Boa! I made that joke last week.
Get out. You're worse than Mauro.
Oh, before we get into what I should be going to talk about, a hype video coming up.
The Angel Garza pipe video, yeah.
Yes. Flag Watch.
Uh-huh.
There was a flag this week. I think a new flag?
I've only ever noticed one of them, so you're just imagining them. But sure, go on, what's the flag?
There was an Undisputed Era flag in their backstage warming up segment, but you could only see like a corner of it.
Hmm.
But I had to make mention of any flags I see on the show.
Of course. We got a nice little Angel Garza package with some WCW Hector Garza footage just telling
you
who he is.
For that super babyface Angel Garza.
Yeah.
Sure hope he beats the bad Leo Rush?
Yeah. Face heel dynamics on the show are weird. I, like, Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega are working like, you know, there's shades of grey there.
Yeah.
You could choose your side, but they're consistent.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone in this show flips week to week. It's bizarre.
Well, next week he's going to come out and rip off his pants and, like, act all cocky, and he's going to be a bad guy again. So,
which brings us to our main event, the Undisputed Era against Matt Riddle and Keith Lee in a... I don't know, it was a good match. What are you grumbling at?
The Limitless Bros.
Actually, Mauro called them the Bro Limit Soldiers, so that's what I'm going to go for. I've upset you too. I've upset him into silence. Oh, jeez, Liam, they're the Bro Limit Soldiers.
My physical pain.
Oh, imagine the freaking Rick and Morty references Mauro would have made.
I'm surprised he didn't make one as like a little shot.
But yeah, this main event, pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was alright. It was like the exact tag match you thought it was going to be.
I feel like the build to the men, like, I think they did a pretty good job of organically, like, building dissension across the women's division over the last 3 weeks. You know, all that building to War Games. I think they did a good job of having all those little programs intersect in a fun way. This one, it just feels like, all right, we need people for the Undisputed Era to wrestle. Matt Riddle, you're back. You haven't had a problem with, what's his name? Adam Cole since the very first episode of NXT on USA. But sure, you can do the team. Like, where was Dijakovic?
Yeah, well, I think he's going to get added eventually. They're doing a story where he wants to help, but Lee doesn't trust him.
Hmm.
I think him and Velveteen are going to be the other members.
Who's going to be the fifth on Undisputed Era?
Well, it should have been him and Velveteen and then Gargano, and then it should have been Undisputed Era and Balor, but it seems we're getting the singles match instead.
So it's just 4-on-4 for the Undisputed Era, which would be Matt Riddle, Keith Lee, Dijakovic, and Tommaso Ciampa.
What Dream should be in this.
Like, who do you put with Undisputed Era to even it out?
Their new fifth member, Marty Scurll.
Matt Taven.
No, he resigned. Didn't you get told?
Who can they get from Ring of Honor to add to Undisputed Era?
Marty Scurll.
No.
What do you mean, no?
It's because I don't want it.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, that's NXT. NXT pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like we were like kind of being down on it, but it was a pretty good show.
If last week's NXT was a head to head with this week's AEW, I'd probably prefer NXT, but that's not the case.
No.
NXT is fine. They're building towards War Games, so I can at least watch most of these things and go, this is why is most of this is happening.
Yeah, these last few weeks of NXT feel
purposeful.
Like there's actually a plan. There's a light at the end of the tunnel now.
Yeah, finally. We can see the light after 6 weeks of NXT on USA. That's like, where's it going? It's just petering around. Why is Damian Priest wrestling Pete Dunne again?
Yeah. Before we get to our who's going to win, mm-hmm. before we get to just to, you know, increase the suspense, I just wanted to get your quick thoughts, because this is our fourth week of podcasting.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the last 4 weeks of both AEW and NXT as a whole?
I think NXT started bafflingly like mediocre and have worked their way... Well, not mediocre. Like, the first episode on USA was actually really good. But everything since then... Or the first episode head-to-head when they did the mini takeover. Yeah. Everything since then has just been kind of like, why is any of this happening? It's some of it's really good, but why is any of it happening? And now at least they've started building towards War Games. And I think on the whole, AEW have done a really good job of doing weekly television. I know people didn't like this week's episode because they hate fun. But on the whole, I'm like, I'm into their programs. I think all of the key programs on the show are good. I think they've done a good job of elevating young people. I think they've had good wrestling. It's pretty much good all around. I can't complain about AEW Dynamite yet.
The thing, yeah. Well, with Dynamite, for me, it's a weekly wrestling show that I look forward to. And that hasn't been the case for a while.
And the crowds for Dynamite are just insane.
And NXT, at least for the last 2 weeks, even though I haven't been excited for the show, it has won me over while watching.
Yeah, they've had good matches, good angles, and only nitpicks at Mauro and annoying bits of Finn Balor storytelling and other little bits and bobs. Macro level, it's pretty good.
Yeah, and let's be real, like, as much as Mauro is a thing, we also do enjoy listening to him to dunk on him.
Yes. The NXT segment would be 10 minutes shorter without Mauro to dunk on.
So God bless you, Mauro, and I don't change.
Thank you for the content.
I'm still pissed that there were no tricks or treats on this show.
That's the reason you're picking AEW?
Yes, sure, that's it.
That's the difference maker? More Halloween-related content?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the shows aren't like miles apart this week, but AEW's like that crowd will always elevate it. It's hard to beat.
Yeah, like it's to go back to the famed Cody Jericho segment. It feels like wrestling.
Yes, that bad segment.
It doesn't feel like a studio show.
Ooh, heavy shot at the NWA.
I've seen 10 minutes of NWA Power. I've watched every Eddie promo.
Our poll, 171 votes, 74% AEW, 26% NXT, so...
I don't know if I expected that much of a...
It was closer last week, and the gap was bigger last week. Oh, no, it wasn't. Last week's NXT was good, sorry. AEW was just great.
Although, you know, people hated this show, apparently.
People do like that this is a divisive episode of AEW Dynamite, but just have some fun. It's like if this was the show every week, it would grade on me. I won't. But like, this is the first time their show was at like any just kind of goofy silliness, and I'm okay with that every 4 weeks.
And it was Halloween.
It was Halloween, spooky fun time show, and they played Megalovania. They played Megalovania, Liam.
I forget who mentioned this. Perhaps it was either maybe Trevor Dame or was it Buzzmoz. But if they should have had pumpkins out there to let people know it was going to be a wacky Halloween episode.
That's how you tell people?
Yes, you let them know, oh, look at the wacky setup we have this week. Things are going to be cool and different, and Rick and Morty's going to be here, bro.
They should have put pumpkins in the shape of Rick and Morty characters on top of the ring posts.
Exactly. And then Hager should have put Dustin's head in one and smacked it against the car.
With his knee.
With his knee?
He should have kneed a pumpkin into Dustin Rhodes' balls.
My favorite thing about that segment was JR going, oh, he dented the limo, when there was clearly a dent before he smacked his head in.
In fairness, it was fine, because you probably wouldn't have noticed it, like, in real time. It's like, oh, there is a dent in the limo. But then they showed the replay, and JR was like, look at this. And then you can see, wait, the limo's dented the entire time.
I'm going to be real with you, Garrett. I noticed it in real time.
Well, I'm blind.
You never noticed the flags.
I noticed the Dijakovic one last week. That's the only flag I've ever liked. I'm like, oh, it's the flags!
You gotta keep an eye out.
Match of the week. I'm going Elite Six Man. I like that match a lot. That match is fun.
Garrett, you're gonna be mad at me.
What are you gonna pick? Are you gonna pick the bad match?
Shanna and Cheetah.
Really?
Yeah, I really like that match.
Alright. I thought you were going to pick the women's tag title match.
That's because that was my number two.
I would have given out to you a lot about
it. No, yeah.
I would have done my 15-minute heat segment rant all over again. I would have went into it for another 5 minutes of this podcast.
They're both going to make the spreadsheet, brother.
Where can people find you on the interwebs, Liam?
At Larrikin. LARRIKN.
You nailed it.
I know, I even tried this week after last week. I just gave up and didn't even give it out.
You can find a lot more All Elite Wrestling coverage on the Voices Wrestling Podcasting Network with Everything Elite every Thursday night. You can listen to Nate, AB, and the wonderful Mike Spears. Also, you can listen to Shake Them Ropes every Saturday for all your WWE coverage in the world. Probably more WWE coverage than you could ever possibly want. You can follow me on Twitter at GarrettKidney, GARRETTKIDNEY. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at WarGamesPod.
Remember to vote.
Yeah, vote in the poll. And watch both shows before you vote in the poll. Don't you ruin democracy.
Be, much like us, be completely unbiased going into the shows.
There's people that do Wednesday Night Wars shows, and they go on the air like 15 minutes after these shows aired, and it's like, you're sacrificing the integrity of your show just to be first. Stop it.
Also, you need to have some time to digest it, you know?
Yeah, you need to sit on AEW Dynamite and be like, I like Rick and Morty.
Yeah. Also, the Voices of Wrestling Discord, go in there, chat. I'm in there a lot.
Yeah, I'm never in there, but sure.
Give out to Garrett for being 35 minutes late to recording a podcast.
One, I was 10 minutes late, and two, you deserve it.
Is that how we're ending this?
Oh, jeez, Liam, goodbye!
Bye!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.